that debt, for we could never have done it for ourselves, nor could anyone else. Well, I've got a paper in here that I could use, but somehow it's not in here, so we'll go without it. Turn your Bibles to Mark, the 16th chapter. Or rather, the 16th chapter, verse number 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world, he said to them, to his New Testament church, and he said, preach the gospel to every creature. Then Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse number 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now there's many gospels being preached today along with the true gospel, and this causes confusion. Who is behind this? Of course, Satan is. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. The Bible says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. God is not the author of confusion. The devil is. It's clear. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan has blinded the eyes, blinded the minds of many to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. He has taken and fed them with a false gospel, a perverted gospel, and they have given over to it, thinking they are worshiping and serving God in an acceptable manner. But there's only one way to serve God in an acceptable manner, and that's to go forth and preach the true gospel, Jesus Christ, and not a perverted gospel. The gospel of works for salvation. Fig leaf aprons. It's not new. It started in the Garden of Eden with Adam, when they made themselves fig leaf aprons. And that's what the gospel of works for salvation is. Is like them. It's doing and bringing salvation about by yourself and with your own power. And we have no power to bring that to pass. That's why Jesus, who was God in the flesh, had to come and do that for us. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9. Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Saved by the grace of God, grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The true gospel of Jesus Christ is the death, the death of Jesus Christ according to the scripture, the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the scripture. The gospel of works for salvation will not bring anyone to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The gospel of religion for salvation will prevail nothing. Look at Acts, the 26th chapter, verses 4 and 5. Acts chapter 26 and verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, "My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee." The Apostle Paul was out abounding in his religion, the Jewish religion, and yet it didn't bring him salvation. Salvation only came when he was on the road to Damascus, when the Lord struck him down with conviction and brought him down to a place to where he'd lift his heart up and put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's exactly what brought him to salvation. His religion, he excelled in it above all others, and yet it did not bring him salvation. Religion does not bring one salvation. The gospel of church membership does not bring salvation either. Matter of fact, Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he had his membership in the church of that day, and yet it didn't bring him to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He come to the realization there was something missing in his life, and then he come to Jesus. He come to Jesus and he found that which was missing. And that which was missing was Jesus Christ in his life, was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. His religion did not bring him any of that that benefited him. It did not bring him eternal or everlasting life. The gospel baptism for salvation. Look at Matthew 3 and verse number 17. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Baptized not to become the Son of God, but baptized to make manifest that he was the Son of God. Look at John chapter 3. Oh, John chapter 1 and verse number 31. John the first chapter and verse 31. The Bible says, "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to the Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." Water baptism doesn't make you a child of God. Water baptism will not save your soul. Water baptism, even in holy water, will not save your soul. But baptism at the hands of a New Testament church is to make manifest and show forth that you are a son of God. No one has ever become a son of God by being baptized in water. It manifests that one has already become a son of God. So the gospel of baptism does not bring salvation or eternal life. The gospel of education for salvation. Nicodemus was a great teacher. He was highly educated. Apostle Paul was highly educated and knowledgeable as far as the secular world was concerned. But it didn't bring salvation to either one of these brethren. They come to it with the true gospel, when they accepted that gospel message wholeheartedly and trusted what Jesus had done for the saving of their soul. The true gospel is the need of man to believe from the heart the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ according to the scripture. Look at Acts, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse number 36. Acts chapter 8. Beginning with verse number 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Romans 10, 9 and 10. Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. Philip would not have baptized the eunuch had he not professed that he had become a child of God. Then in 10 of Romans, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, what's he saying there? If you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ with all your heart, you shall be saved. And it's with the heart. It's not acknowledging with the head. It's not acknowledging with intellect. It's a receiving or accepting or surrender from the heart. In other words, you surrender all in the care and keeping of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So, then 1 Corinthians 15, first three verses. 1 Corinthians 15, first three verses gives us, or the first four verses gives us the gospel of Christ. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received, and wherein ye stand." The true gospel is what Paul preached. The true gospel is, "By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture." So the true gospel is the death of Christ according to the scripture, the burial of Christ and resurrection according to the scripture. And one must accept and believe it with all of their heart in order to be saved, in order to have eternal life. And the question should be, have you done that? In reality, have you believed the true gospel of Christ? Have you committed to the true gospel of Christ from your heart? Or did you just decide or make up your mind? Or you just determined? Eternity depends on it. The teaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. Romans, the first chapter, verse 16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," the true gospel, "for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek," all mankind. The true gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Believing and trusting wholeheartedly in that gospel is what saves a man's soul. Outside of that, there's no power to save a man other than that true gospel. 1 Corinthians 1, beginning with verse number 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, And verse number 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, if salvation was by baptism, he'd have sent him to baptize, wouldn't he? But he didn't send him to baptize. He sent him to preach the gospel, which harmonizes with the fact that water baptism is only for those who are sons of God to make manifest that they are, never in order to become the Son of God. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. So, he commanded that no other gospel be preached. Look at 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 3. 1 Timothy chapter 1. It says, we are bound to thank God always. Well, that's 1 Thessalonians. I need 1 Timothy 1 and verse 3. It says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. The true gospel is doctrine. And we're to teach no other doctrine other than the true doctrine. And where is the true doctrine found? God's word. That's where it's found. It's not found in religion. It's not found in some prophet, so-called. It's not found in some church or some group. It is not found in the preacher, the pastor, or the deacons. It is found, bless your heart, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the true gospel, that the church of the living God is the pillar and ground of that truth. Pillar and ground of the truth. We're to uphold that truth. We're to accept no other gospel. We're to preach no other gospel than the true gospel of Jesus Christ. People are following the wrong spirit today. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, that ought to tell us that there among the religious world out here, the false religion, that there's a spirit in their midst, but it's not the Spirit of God, it's the spirit of the devil. He's blinding eyes or blinding hearts and minds to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why in 1 John 4:1, we're admonished to try the spirits. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1, he says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Well, how do you try the spirits? Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. And so we're to try the spirits, and we're to try them with the word of God. If the Spirit is leading you, if a spirit is leading you, the way to know whether it's the Spirit of God or not, is it leading you according to the teachings of the Word of God? That's why it's so important that the Lord's New Testament church members study the Bible, study the Word, so they'll know the Word, so that they can hide it in their heart and not sin against Him, as well as not be deceived and drawn away and led by the false spirits, the demon spirits that are at work in the world. Listen, Satan is going to and fro on this earth seeking whom he may devour. Listen, he's not by himself. If you remember, there are demon spirits that fell with him, or angels that fell with him becoming demon spirits. And their work is not for truth or to preserve truth, but it's to destroy it. Because their determination is to try and to destroy God and all that's his. The only way they can do that to an individual is when they're willing to let them. The Bible makes it clear. If we resist the devil, then he'll flee from us. We're led to follow, or they're led to follow the wrong doctrine. Look at Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Romans 16. Verse 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but words good by... but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Brother, that's the order of the day. Some of the wealthiest people in the world are religious folks. Some of the wealthiest people in the world are a bunch of preachers that have deceived and misled the false prophets and false teachers. And they do it to serve themselves for their own gain and not for the help of others. So they're led by the wrong spirit. And what's our position toward them? Look at 2 John. 2 John, begin with verse number 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. We're not even to wish them well. We're not even to wish them to have a good day. I don't want them to have a good day, because they'll deceive, mislead, destroy somebody, and cause them to turn away and wind up spending eternity in hell. I don't want them to have a good day. I want to have a bad day. I don't want them to influence others away from the true gospel of Jesus Christ, or an opportunity to receive that gospel. We're not even to bid them Godspeed, he says. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. You're assisting him. You're helping him. And frankly, when we have members of the church or members of a family, and we just treat them just like we've always treated them, and we accept their wrongdoing and encourage them in it, it's the same situation. Same situation. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. That's exactly where we're at and where it stands. So there's the true gospel. There are also false gospels that are being preached in the world today. And brother, The only way to really truly combat and put them to rest is that we go out and we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we do it with a more fervency and more energy than they do. Because if we reach them before the false gospel is presented to them, then it's easier for them to accept the true gospel. And again, it's harder to reach them out of religion than it is in the most ungodly part of this world. Yeah, I'm persuaded that religion is what Satan uses to blind people. We've seen an example of that right here. Right here, just recently. It's sad. It's sad. Because chances are those individuals didn't get saved, but simply became religious. And because of the false doctrine and false teaching that they're given over to, we couldn't reach them with the truth. Why? Only one kind of church can't be. Salvation eternally? If you don't live and outrun Satan, or if you don't live above sin, then you'll lose your salvation. Listen, if a sinner has to keep his salvation, then he has to earn it as well. And we know that you can't earn salvation. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And we know that he promised us that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's eternal life, life without end. There are no conditions and no exceptions to that. And at the worst, those that are saved, and it's going to be worse when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But those that walk away from God and those that don't choose not to serve God after that they're saved, they're going to be saved yet so as by fire. They'll have nothing to show for it. And I'm persuaded that they're going to be grieved when they stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. Because they will not have reward. They'll lose that reward. Any reward that they may have earned. But the Bible says, if a man gives something in the name of Jesus, well, if you give it in the name of Jesus, you give it through a scriptural New Testament church. Because that's where the name of Jesus is. That's where his authority rests. And he's promised you'll get a reward. But if you do it outside that, there's no promise of reward. Now, we want to say, well, they get their reward here. Listen, anything you get here is not worth anything. Especially when you're comparing it with that which is there. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, the Spirit of God's convicted your heart. Come to Jesus. What shall we sing, brother? 118. As we sing this hymn, won't you come?